Let's take our Bibles, and if you got your phone, your device, maybe you got your Bible on there, that's great, or you have your physical Bible, that's great too. Go to 2 Thessalonians in the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians in the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I really want you to see God's Word. I don't just trust me, but I want you to see it for yourself, because we're going to talk about prayer again. We're going to talk about prayer and things that ought to be on our prayer list every day. So many times there's things that we don't know. Well, should I be praying about this, or what should I pray for? And the Bible says we don't always know what to pray for as we ought. We're focusing on things that we just know from God's Word that we need to be praying about every day. And so I want to give you part two of this. Prayer is simply talking to God. Can you say that with me? What is prayer? Talking to God. And so that's all it is. Prayer is talking to God. And just like you talk to a friend, or you talk to me, or you talk to your spouse, or you talk to a family member or somebody at work, prayer is just, it's talking to God. And the Bible teaches that as believers in Christ, we have access to enter into God's presence by faith. We can enter into the throne room of God, actually with boldness, the Bible says. So we don't even have to go in cowering, acting like we don't belong, acting, you know, like some kind of a whipped puppy. No, we can go in with boldness into the throne room of God to be able to talk to God about what's on our heart, to talk to God about our request. And so, that's a great privilege. That's an incredible privilege to be able to talk to the God of this universe and to be able to get Him involved, you know, in situations in our life. Prayer gets God involved, you know. All through the Bible, if you study your Bible much, from Genesis, first book of the Bible, to Revelation, last book of the Bible, we see prayer. We see people communing with God, talking to God, seeking God, asking for His help, asking for His guidance, asking for His wisdom, asking Him to help in situations. And so all through the Bible, we see the concept of prayer from the very beginning of human beings soliciting God, talking to God, asking for His help. And so prayer is something that is all through the Bible. The details of prayer change as we progress through the Bible. We're on this side of the cross now, so it's different. We don't have to go to a temple or go through a priest. We don't have to go through a man. We don't have to go through sacrifices and all that. We can go directly into the presence of God and be able to talk to God about whatever it is that is on our heart. And I think all of us in here would like to build a stronger prayer life. Sometimes we struggle with how to do that. We lack a plan, a strategic plan. And so what I've been trying to do is help you with that and just try to give you some things that we know from the Bible that God wants us to be praying about each and every day. So last week we began to study the Apostle Paul. He wrote 13 books to the church, to the body of Christ, to us today. And we learn a lot by just seeing what Paul prayed for and then what he asked other people to pray for. And so we've begun to look at this. Last week we looked at the first thing. And we said number one is that as believers in Christ who know the Lord, we should have a burden and a heart for those who don't know Christ. And so part of our prayer every day should be praying for those that we know in our life that do not know Jesus Christ. They do not know Him yet. Maybe you have a son or a daughter or a grandchild, maybe a neighbor, a friend, somebody at work, and they will just flat out tell you that they don't believe in Jesus, or they don't believe in God, or they don't have faith in God. And so, you know, pray for them. The Bible teaches that God wants us to pray for them. That should be on your prayer list every day, is to ask God to do a wonderful work in their life. You know, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, "My heart's desire," in other words, my passion, "and my prayer for my people Israel is that they might be saved." Every day, Paul was praying for people in his nation to come to know the Lord. And when he said that, I really don't think it was generic like we think. Oh, he was just praying for the nation of Israel. No, Paul was a Jew. Paul was a leader. And when he said, "I'm praying for Israel," he meant he had names and faces that came to his mind, because he had been a Pharisee, a leader in Israel. And so he rubbed shoulders with these people, worked with them, loved them, cared for them, and he was praying for them that they would come to faith and come to know Jesus Christ as he knew Christ. And so each day, spend some time praying for those who do not know Christ. How many of you know someone that just really needs the Lord in their life? Raise your hand if you know someone like that. They just need Christ, you know? They may not see it, they don't get it, they don't understand it yet, but they do need Christ. Pray for them. Lift them up to the Lord in prayer. And then there's the second thing that we're going to focus on today out of 2 Thessalonians. And that's number two, the second thing that should be on your prayer list every day is to pray for the work of the Lord. Pray for the work of the Lord. You know, many times we get so wrapped up in our own work. And I understand that. Many times we love our work. It just kind of like is our life and it's what we do every day. And we can get so wrapped up though in our work and in the things that interest us that we forget that God has a work that he's trying to accomplish today. And we need to care about that. And we need to pray about that. You remember when Jesus was 12 years old and they went to Jerusalem, and when they were heading home, they realized that Jesus wasn't with them. You remember that story? And they went back to Jerusalem and they found Jesus, and he was sitting there in the temple and he was talking to the Pharisees, the scribes, the lawyers, and he's sitting there reasoning with them at 12 years old. And his parents were kind of like, you know, like any parent, you know, why didn't you come with us? You know, we were scared to death, and why weren't you with us? And, you know, you scared us. And Jesus said to them, you remember his response? He said, "Didn't you know that I would be about my Father's business?" And you know what that tells me? That the Father, God, has a business. He's got a work that he's trying to accomplish on the earth. Now, Jesus was very tuned into that as the Son of God. And he's like, "Didn't you think I'd be about my Father's business?" And what we need to do is we need to focus every day for a while in prayer, okay? Because let's face it, we get involved with what we're doing and the things that interest us and our work and all of our issues, but we need to carve out some time every day to say, "Okay, hold on. I'm going to focus my heart right now on God's business, on God's work, what God wants to see done. And I'm going to pray about that." Because God's work involves getting the good news of his Son, Jesus Christ, out to those who have never heard it. God's heart is God wants to give people an opportunity to be able to make a choice for Jesus Christ. Some of you in here this morning have never made that choice for Christ. Please come see someone after the service, and we can show you from the Bible how you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Some of you in here have made a choice for Christ. Maybe you did that years ago. Maybe you did it last year. Maybe you did it last month. But you've made a choice for Jesus Christ. You're like, "Yep, I want Jesus. I want to be his follower, and I want to be a Christ follower." That's awesome. And that's God's heart, is God wants to give people the opportunity to hear the good news of what Christ did for them on the cross there, how he died for their sin, how that he rose from the dead, how that God's willing to save them. By the way, let me ask you something. Is it God's will to save lost souls, yes or no? Yes. Remember last week that verse where we saw it, 1 Timothy 2, "God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." God wants people to be saved. He wants people to know his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, you think about this, okay? The Apostle Paul, who wrote this, 2 Thessalonians, Paul had dedicated his life to this, you know, this work of the Lord, this business that we talk about, my Father's business. Paul had dedicated his life to getting the good news of Christ out to this world. Jesus had called Paul, saved Paul, and then Jesus said, "Paul, I am sending you out." Remember last week? "I'm sending you out to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, to turn people from the power of Satan unto God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a home in heaven." And so he sends Paul out, and Paul's whole life revolved around that. He was dedicated to God's business, to doing what God wanted to be done. But now listen closely. Even though Paul was completely dedicated to the work of the Lord, he knew that he desperately needed people's prayers. And the Apostle Paul was not ashamed to ask people for prayer. In fact, sometimes we'll read verses where he just says, hey, pray for us. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:25, he ends that book. He says, hey, brothers, pray for us. Sisters, pray for us. Church, pray for us. Paul was part of a missionary team that was going out, getting the gospel out, trying to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. By the way, aren't you thankful for the good news of Jesus? Amen, church? You know, and it's changed our life, right? And so Paul's like, man, that's what we're about, but we need your prayers. He says, brothers, pray for us. You know, talking about this need of prayer. We have some good friends of ours that live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. They may be watching. They probably are. They've been watching all during this time, and they're probably watching right now, and I'll say a shout out to them there in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Their name is Don and Jenny Miller, and they have been coming to Daytona since the 1980s, and they've been coming to our church that long, even before me, before my time. And so they were actually here when I was voted in as pastor in 1994. And Don and Jenny since have become very close friends of ours. And Don said to me one day, he said, Pastor Dan, you were voted in as pastor. And he said, I was talking to you one Sunday after you were voted in. And I went to the hospitality room and I was talking to you after church. And he says, I will never forget what you said to me. And I said, what did I say to you? Because I don't remember what I said to you. It always scares me when people say that, you know. I said, well, what did I say, Don, that you remembered 30 years later, you know? And he said, I'll never forget. He said, we talked a little bit. And then you said to me, you said, Don, the main thing you can do is pray for me. He said, you were 27 years old. You had inherited kind of a mess at the church. You know, we were like $3.5 million in debt. It was a mess, you know. And he said, I remember you saying to me, Don, when you think about me, pray for me and pray for our church. And he said, you know, that really impacted me that a young man would that'd be the one thing that you would ask of me is that please, please, please pray for us. And, you know, here I am 30 years later, and guess what? I still need prayer. You know, Don, if you're watching, man, I still need your prayers. Because, man, that's what it's all about. Got to have those prayers. And listen, let's just get real practical, rubber meeting the road right now, okay? Near the top of your prayer list, you should be praying for God's work. Okay? You know, the different channels that God's using to get the gospel out that you know of. Now, obviously, I mean, to me, at the top of that list, because there's a lot of great ministries out there getting the gospel out, but at the top of the list is going to be your local church. Hopefully, you're part of a local church that's about getting the gospel out. Hey, listen, if you're part of Crossroads, you know we're about getting the gospel out. Amen. And so if you're part of a local church that's getting the gospel out, man, you need to be praying for your church, you know? And it's fine to pray for yourself, and it's fine to pray for your own needs, and that there's a time, we're going to talk about that, all right, later, you know, as we go through this list of stuff that we need to be praying about. There's a time to pray for yourself, but I want you to know that you really need to be praying for God's work and what God's doing. Pray for your local church. Pray for other ministries that you know that are trying to advance the good news of Jesus Christ. Picture like, you know how a football team's got the ball, you know, and when the team on offense has the ball and they're trying to advance the ball down the field to get a touchdown. And that's the church, man. We've got the ball, and the ball is the good news of Jesus Christ. And we're trying to advance that forward. By the way, is there an opposition? Yes or no? Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But, you know, we're trying to advance the gospel, and yet there's going to be pushback, so we need prayer. We need prayer. So you may, you know, obviously pray for Crossroads, your local church, because that's where you're attending, that's where you go, that's where you're fed, that's where you're being blessed, that's where you're serving probably, that's probably where you're giving most of your giving to the Lord and being generous is with your local church. So therefore, that should be at the top, man. You need to be praying for your local church, okay? But then other ministries, other missionaries you may know, other churches. Some of you watch online and you love Crossroads because, you used to attend here, now you've moved away, or you just love this ministry because you know of it. And so you're going to pray for your local church and Crossroads. And some of you are from other great churches, and then you move to this area, you're going to pray for your home church, wherever that was. Then you're going to pray for your church here, Crossroads. But the point is that you need to be praying for ministries that you know are trying to advance the good news of Jesus Christ. Are y'all with me? Say amen, huh? Now listen, you say, what do I pray for, Pastor Dan? What do I pray for when I pray for the work of the Lord and pray for my local church? What do I pray for? Lord, bless Crossroads. Well, that took 2 seconds. I'm done with that. Prayed for my church. I think we can be a little more specific and strategic than that. Amen. Okay, when you're praying for your local church, you got some specific things that you want to see God do. That's where this text, 2 Thessalonians 3, is going to be so helpful. Because Paul is going to mention some specific things that he needed people to be praying about as he tried to advance the gospel. So let's look at it. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2. Let's look at this. He says, finally, brothers, in other words, I'm ending the letter now, right? He's at the tail end of the letter. He says, finally, brothers, and then notice the next three words. What are they? Pray for us. Pray for us. You see, I told you Paul wasn't ashamed to ask for prayer. He says, hey, church, and he founded this church. He knew these people real well. Paul started the church at Thessalonica. He says, hey, guys, pray for us. Let's read on. He says, that the word of the Lord may quickly spread and be glorified, even as it did with you, right? When we went there and we gave the gospel to you. He says, verse 2, and pray, there it is again, and pray that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For not all men have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. This morning, I'd like to give you 4 things to pray for when you pray for your local church. And if you're taking notes, we're going to get back to the handouts after the COVID thing kind of is in the rearview mirror. But for right now, just take your own notes. And I want you to jot down, because this is really important stuff. I'm going to give you some guidance on what to pray for each day as you pray for your church and you pray for the work of the Lord. There's 4 things that we learn in these verses to pray for when you pray for God's work, okay? Number one is this. Number one, pray for your spiritual leaders, okay? Pray for your spiritual leaders. Look at verse 1 again. He says, finally, brothers, and you look at that. Pray for us. He's talking about his missionary team, Paul and his team of workers that were spreading the gospel. He says, hey guys, pray for us. Lift us up by name. I want you to pray for us. Now, when you're praying for the work of the Lord, you're going to pray for your spiritual leaders. Can anybody in here name for me who would be a spiritual leader in your life? Well, I was kind of hoping you might remember that. Your pastors, right? We got 3 pastors, actually. You got Pastor Dan here, right? Then you got Pastor Rob. You got Pastor Rich. Pastor Rob has moved into the role now of executive pastor of our ministries. So he's kind of over the day-to-day operations now of our church. Pastor Rob, he's been our youth pastor for years. He's going to hand that baton off to someone else. We're in the process of trying to find a new youth pastor. So you need to pray that we'll get the right youth pastor, the right man in here to work with our youth. And then, as you're praying for your pastor, so you pray for Pastor Dan, Pastor Rob, Pastor Rich, And then our whoever the new youth pastor that will get the right guy. And, you know, I think about Clayton up here who plays the guitar. And, you know, Clayton has finished up his four-year degree. He's finishing up his master's now. Clayton wants to go into the ministry full-time, and he wants to be ordained. Amen. Isn't that exciting? So he'd like to be ordained into the ministry. So, you know, pray for Clayton as he continues to desire that in his life. So pray for your leaders. Who else would be a spiritual leader in your life? Another spiritual leader would be your deacon. If you're a member of Crossroads, then you have a deacon. And a deacon, the word deacon means servant. You say, well, what does that mean? We got seven deacons at our church. These are great men, man. We got some incredible godly men that are deacons at our church. And a deacon in the Bible is someone who assists the pastors. They encourage the pastors, and they help the pastors to minister to the flock. And our deacons are calling the flock and visiting the flock and praying with the flock. And our deacons are encouraging their pastors and trying to be there for them. And our deacons are fabulous men. They got full-time jobs, but yet they also serve here at the church, and they're great men. You say, well, I don't even know who my deacon is, and I'm a member of Crossroads. Call the church office. They'll let you know. Pray for your deacon every day. Pray for him. Because when you get good deacons and good pastors in place that are working together instead of against each other, the work of the Lord advances and moves forward. So you pray for your deacon, pray for your pastors, pray for your small group leader. Many of you are in a small group, and your small group leader is that person that's leading you in Bible study, right? They're helping you to take the Bible and apply it to your everyday life and teaching you Bible principles and how they relate to your life. And so small groups are awesome. By the way, if you're wondering what we're doing with small groups right now, we're really looking forward to getting those going full steam again. Pastor Rich is over that. He's in the lobby today. He'll be hanging out there, and he can kind of let you know the plan on that. Still a few more weeks probably before they're full steam ahead. But our small groups are so, so important. And so pray for your small group leader. So that's number one, pray for your spiritual leaders, all right, whoever that may be. Number two, second thing is this, pray for the word of God to quickly spread through your local church, through the ministries you're praying for. Pray that the word of God will spread quickly. Look with me at our passage again. Go to 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. He says, finally, brothers, pray for us. Notice that the word of the Lord may quickly spread. At the 1769 King James says that it may have free course. And that's exactly what it means. It means to quickly spread. We want the word of God to spread throughout our community. We want to be a light in our community. Lord, help our church to be a light in our community. Help our people. The church is the people, right? And so help us to go out and to be a light wherever we're at. Help our church to be a light. Help us to have a good testimony in our community. By the way, how many of you would agree with this? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Y'all agree Jesus is the light, amen? Okay, then a church should be lifting up, exalting, and magnifying Jesus Christ. So Lord, help our church to lift up Jesus, the light of the world. And then our prayer is, God, help us as saints of God, as members of Crossroads, to shine as lights wherever we're at. You know, we don't want to blend in with the darkness. We want to shine as a light, the Bible says, in the midst of the darkness that's out there. We want to shine as a light. And so, God, help my church to spread your word quickly throughout our community, throughout Daytona, Port Orange, Volusia County, all over. Help us to spread your word, God. That's what we're all about. Number three. Third thing, if you're taking notes, is this. When you pray for the work of God, pray for open doors of opportunity. Pray for open doors of opportunity. Man, this is huge. You know, I believe that, you know, we have this connections building. which was going great until COVID hit, you know. We had so many families in our community coming and using that every day during the week. We're using that as an outreach tool. That's a door of opportunity, and that's there because so many people prayed, you know. And, you know, whenever we talk about doors, and, you know, you look at this door right here. I'm probably driving our cameramen crazy back there, but if you look at this, an open door in the Bible speaks of opportunity. So if the door is shut, then I don't have the opportunity to go through. The door is shut, right? But when the door is open, now I've got opportunity to be able to go through, see? And so in the Bible, a door speaks of opportunity. And so as you pray for your church, you're praying for open doors of opportunity. Paul made the comment, he said many times he would use that analogy of a door. In fact, let's bring it up, Colossians 4:3. He said, while praying, there, that's what we're talking about is prayer today, praying for us that God would open to us. Notice he said, I want you to pray that God will open to us, right? A door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. Just another way of saying, we want to speak the good news of Jesus, for which I am also in chains. He said, church, pray for open doors. And so as you pray for Crossroads and you pray for other ministries, pray for open doors. I think about Bill Dobb. He's one of our missionaries. Bill Dobb used to be an assistant pastor. He's now a missionary in the country of Jordan, right? It's a Muslim country. And we need to pray for open doors for Bill and for his ministry there. They have a incredible Bible Institute where they're training men in from Syria and Egypt and Jordan and all these Middle East. They're training these men to take the gospel out to their countries. And so pray for Bill. Pray for open doors of opportunity for Bill. Now, here's the deal. Listen up. Do you guys believe this? If God wants a door to be open, if we need to pray for open doors, do you think there's somebody who would like to see the door shut? 1 Corinthians 16, Paul said, there is a great and effectual door that's been opened unto us, but there are many adversaries. There's a great and effectual door open, but there are many adversaries. That brings me to number four. Number four, if you're taking notes, when you pray for your local church, number four, let's bring it up, pray for opposition to be removed. I want you to look at our text. Go to chapter 3. Everybody look back at your Bible. Look at this. He says, finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may quickly spread and be glorified. That's the open door. Be glorified, even as it did with you. Paul had an open door there. But now look at verse 2. And pray that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all men have faith. The Apostle Paul was getting the gospel out, doing the work of the Lord, but he faced opposition. And so Paul said, will you please pray with us that that opposition can be removed? You see, anytime you get a church that's proclaiming Jesus, anytime you get a church that's proclaiming the good news of Christ, Satan is not happy with the gospel going out. In fact, last week we learned, if you were here last Sunday, and I know many of you weren't here, but maybe you watched online, but last Sunday, by the way, it's a great crowd today. You know, thank you guys. Man, tell you what, we've had the crowds go up each week, and it has been a blessing. Isn't it awesome to worship God in person together? Isn't that exciting to do that? I mean, it's just an awesome feeling. Amen. Yeah. And I get it. Some people are still kind of scared. They really don't feel like they're high risk. We certainly don't want to endanger them in any way. But thank you guys for being here. And those of you who are online, we hope you can join us soon. We hope and pray you can. But, you know, if you were here last Sunday, or if you listened last Sunday, you know that we talked about how God is about getting the gospel out and Satan is about blinding people from the gospel. Remember that? Well, that's the opposition. We're talking about. And there's always going to be kickback and resistance to any ministry that's trying to get the gospel out. Most churches are destroyed from within, or at least held back from powers within. Every good church and ministry that's getting the gospel out has problems. Do you know that? They all have problems. Because we have an opponent, we have an adversary who's always trying to stir the pot. And every good church has problems. I don't care what church it is. I don't care how good it looks on the surface. There's going to be problems. You think Crossroads has any problems? No problem. No, of course we do. Every single ministry needs prayer. If they're getting the gospel out, Satan's going to fight, and they need prayer. He said, we need your prayers because we need to be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men do not have faith. And he's not just speaking of people outside the church, but he warned in the book of Acts that there would be grievous wolves that would rise up from within. So he said, you need to be praying. Pray for your church that opposition will be removed. Now, is it God's will that his work and his gospel continue to advance forward? Does God want us to advance the ball of the gospel? Amen? Yes? That's his will. So when you pray for those four things, you are praying, and you can know that you are praying in God's will, and you can know that God will answer your prayer. Why? Because you're praying right in accordance with the will of God for today. So as you pray for your leaders, you pray for me and our other leaders here, you pray for the word of God to spread, pray for open doors for our church, pray for opposition to be removed. As you pray for these things, you are praying in God's will because God's already told you that he wants to see these things happen and he just needs people to pray. And so I want to thank you for your prayers. And I want us this week to try to practice this right here. And I want you each day to carve out some time to where we're not just focused on ourselves and our work, but we're focused on God and his work and what God wants to see done. Amen, church? Amen. I hope we learned a lot today from this passage. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.